Hey friends, it's James. Welcome to the 12th episode of The Art of Letting Go. This episode is called Comfortably Numb, and we'll be dealing with the idea that maybe we've become too complacent in our life. Or is that a bad thing? Maybe we all should be seeking comfort as opposed to risk. Let's break it down right now on The Art of Letting Go. So I want to give a couple of programming notes before we dive into the idea of being comfortable versus taking risk. And I want to tell you that there will be three additional episodes after this one to complete season one of The Art of Letting Go. We will be back in the new year at a later date. And in that particular second season, I'll start introducing you to friends who I believe have incredible stories of overcoming and letting go. And I think that's going to give us an opportunity to grow, not only in the podcast, but to grow together in ways that maybe my own story cannot help you with, but my friends may be able to. Another programming note, before I began this podcast, I had written several episodes for a podcast that I am now prepared to share. And that podcast is called Intersections. In that podcast, we will look at the way music and history have collided throughout time, specifically looking at the early 1900s all the way until today, where music has either helped to drive change in our social dynamic or that historical moment drove change in the music industry. That's going to be an incredible opportunity for us to share our passions of music and history, and I look forward to sharing that with you in the new year as well. In the meantime, I do want to tell you that there are ways to sponsor this podcast. None of these ways are profitable for me in any way. I want to make that very clear. For this podcast, if you choose to sponsor any segment of this podcast, that money will go directly to one of four different organizations that both my wife Maggie and I support. One of those is PSC Partners Finding a Cure. That particular organization deals with trying to find a cure for primary sclerosing cholangitis, the disease that took my own liver. Crohn's and Colitis Foundation almost is an automatic for me, as we know that I've had Crohn's and colitis for over 25 years, going on 30 years. Donate Life Indiana will also receive any portions that are collected, as will the Crisis Text Line. I believe that is a critical element to what we do here on The Art of Letting Go. There are times when we are alone and we have no one that we feel we can reach out to. So if you text the word home to 741741, as we talk about each week, the crisis text line is there and they deserve our help as well. All right, let's break it down right now on The Art of Letting Go, Comfortably Numb, episode number 12. Before I pressed record here, I kind of laughed at myself just a little bit because even I don't realize sometimes how important music seems to be in my own life. And I kind of laughed because it seemed as though I talk about it more than I should. And then I remember something my dad told me years ago, and that's that you love what you love and you shouldn't apologize for it. So I'm not going to apologize. In fact, what the heck? Let's talk a little bit about music. So I remember music as an early device that we would use in our family to be able to kind of communicate with each other, to kind of relate to one another. I know at the age of 5 or 6, my mom was introducing me to Kenny Rogers and Simon and Garfunkel and Elvis, who we found out years later that he is related rather closely to my mom, which is a cool story. Nonetheless, after she married my then stepdad, then later my adoptive dad, and now just good old dad, I was introduced to bands like the Beatles, Grassroots. I remember these bands playing in his wood shop. Three Dog Night, who to this day is one of my favorite bands of all time. I love their music, their sound, their lyrics. But even as I look at my brothers and sisters, I realize how much the musical choices they made influenced who I am, influenced what I listen to. My sister Michelle was really into what I would call Chicago rock, which would be bands like Styx and REO Speedwagon, but also into Southern rock. I had never heard the song Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd until she played it for me, and I was probably 14 or 15 years old. So that was quite a discovery. I felt like there was a whole world of music that I hadn't been exposed to yet, and thanks to her, I was. Talk about exposure. My brother Chip always listened to the band Kiss, it seemed, as I was growing up. And my first concert experience was with him and my cousin Bob and Uncle George. We saw the band Kiss back in 1978. I was 7 years old, and I wanted to go see Fire Breathing Man. So we went, but the opening band was Judas Priest, and I was so freaked out by their sound, I remember running and hiding in the restroom of the Memorial Coliseum here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's a big old building for somebody to go find a child in, but kudos to my Uncle George. But then years later, I remember Chip also introduced me to other melodic heavy metal and hard rock bands like Metallica. My goodness, can't do much better there. My sister Valerie introduced me to Cat Stevens. I can remember quite specifically her telling me how much she loved his music, and other bands out of the Minnesota area, such as Violent Femmes, Blister in the Sun, if you remember that song. But my brother Joe is a huge fan of Pink Floyd to this very day, still a huge fan of Pink Floyd. And when I was putting together this episode and some of the concepts we want to cover, it naturally seemed right to call it Comfortably Numb, which is a Pink Floyd song. It's from the album The Wall. And if you'd put together the album The Wall and the album Dark Side of the Moon, both of which were introduced to me through my brother Joe, you can really see how well they communicate the human experience. Moreover, maybe how we kind of screwed it up, the bastardization of the human experience. But lyrically, they talk about the things that we don't seem to get right as a people, as a society, what we would call escapism or idolism. And I think those two albums together not only speak to that time period in the 70s, but continue to speak to us today. And when I think about some of the lyrics from songs like Comfortably Numb, where they talk about pain receding, when they talk about coming through in waves, I think we've experienced that. You know, our desire to listen, I think that comes through in waves, right? That selective listening that our wives accuse us of having. Sorry, wives, but you do. But not only that, but talking about pain, talking about hurt, in that song it asks, can you show me where it hurts so I know where to give you whatever it is that's going to make you numb. And I'll presume they're not talking about drugs. But when I think of being comfortable, I don't always consider it being, does that mean I'm numb? I'm numb to change. I'm numb to getting other concepts and understanding the value of those in my life as well. I had a friend who recently divorced, and one of the things that her husband had said was that he was comfortable in his marriage. And I won't speak to her own story at all, but I know how deeply that hurt her to hear that he was comfortable. But is that ultimately a bad thing for the rest of us? Is comfort something we seek? I mean, when we look at the word comfort, or we look at what we believe it to mean, the idea of comfort, it in and of itself feels like a warm blanket. It feels like cocoa on a cold night. feels like kicking your shoes off at the end of the day. Or my wife would tell you, when I walk in the door, I start disrobing. I leave the shirt in the kitchen, the pants in the dining room. My shoes make it to the bedroom, but that's because everything's off by then. And then I'm comfortable. I'm home. But I absolutely can understand the idea that comfort can be painful as well. Because it is possible that in comfort, we're acknowledging a certain point at which we're giving up. And is that meant to come off as mean or mean-spirited? Or does that mean that in our own lives, if we start falling into the ideas of comfort, that maybe we gave up on ourselves? Or is being comfortable a way for us to finally breathe? Bringing up another song, one by Billy Joel, he has a song called You're My Home. And on that song, he says that he's finally comfortable when he's with his love, because no matter where he is, she's his home. I can understand that. I can feel that. I know if I'm having a terribly rough day, whether it's physically or emotionally or something has gotten to me for whatever reason, I really have nothing else that I would rather do than go home and, if not sit next to my wife, which we rarely do, but sit near my wife, at least I know I'm home and I'm comfortable. But maybe instead of being comfortable, I'm at peace. And there's a difference. I can be at peace and still want and desire more in my world. But can I if I'm comfortable? Is comfortable an end? Or could it just be a stopgap? I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I don't use the word comfortable that often. And it's not a deliberate thing. I've never found myself to be very comfortable in many situations. When a situation comes, whether it's in my job or in my family life or in my friend relationships, the emotional outlets that I have, I don't think comfortable, but I do think peaceful, or to a certain degree, that particular element in my life is completed. And some of these words, I suppose, are rather interchangeable. If you're comfortable, are you complete? Again, much like, did you stop growing? I can see how when I reflect on watching my friend cry as she revealed that that's what her husband had shared with her, this idea of being comfortable, that for her, that was a very painful word. And that she knew that in that relationship, it was not going to continue to grow. I felt bad for her. But I know in my own relationship with my wife that we still have our bumps in the road. All marriages do. We still have things we disagree on, as all marriages do. But I don't know that I've ever said to her, I'm comfortable. Because I think she too would look at that as a sign that if I'm comfortable, if I'm not longing, if I'm not searching, if I'm not seeking, again, regardless of whether it's career-based, friend-based, religiously-based, whatever the case is, and I'll be honest, I'll say more spiritually-based. I'm a lot less religious than I am spiritual. But when I start finding comfort in those things, she probably realizes something's wrong. Because I didn't just stop. I didn't put a semicolon. I put a period. And that's a very unsettling idea. But perhaps as unsettling as being comfortable might be, maybe the alternative of being more risky is also unsettling. I absolutely can imagine that if I were to be more risky as far as my personal health or in my friend relationships, that too would be a red flag that something is amiss. There's obviously a happy medium. But I also have friends who are quite the opposite of my friend whose husband had told her about his comfort level, who always seem to be trying new things and doing new things and experiencing new things, because the idea that we're here once appeals to them. I look at some of the things that they do and I think, well, that's a quick way to stop being here once, right? I mean, they're just really jumping out of airplanes. That's not a thing for me. That's twice I've mentioned it in this podcast, which means I probably need to see somebody about these things. But there are people who do it, who they receive an adrenaline rush, much the same way that I do when I'm able to experience something new musically, or I get to experience a stage performance. Those things are an adrenaline rush. Performing itself, that's a rush for me. So everybody has their own level of risk that they're willing to take, that they're willing to experience, that allows them to grow as a person. When I consider my own fears, I'm, I suppose, at peace with the idea that I'm likely to not ever finally break free of those. I'm at peace with that idea. It doesn't mean that I don't long to be free. It just means if I don't experience those things, it's cool. It's cool with me. I have an innate fear of heights. I believe there were at least a couple experiences that happened to me that made me contemplate fear of heights. One was in an airplane, and the other was on a bridge. And actually, I guess the third was on a roller coaster. So as much as is humanly possible, I try to avoid any of those at all costs. However, efficiency is also something I appreciate. So flying to Las Vegas for a wedding, it makes a heck of a lot more sense than trying to drive. Okay, point taken. But when I consider that if the extreme of comfort is taking risk and the opposite of risk is not growing, I have to kind of step in this wedge in the middle and say, I feel, I hope, I pray that there is a happy medium. Even if that medium shies closer to comfort or it shies closer to risk. What are those things in your life, whether it's family or job, et cetera, that provides comfort to you? And is it really comfort or is it peace? Because I do believe in the idea that ultimately being comfortable should never be a goal. Now, wearing comfortable clothes, that's different. I don't think you wear peaceful clothes or risky. Well, I suppose you can wear risky clothes. But the feeling of comfort, the concept of comfort, concept of risk, that's not a pair of jeans. That's not your favorite sweater. It's not a blanket. It's innately part of who we are. Should we, those of us that are leaning more towards comfort, should we find things, discover things that allow us to grow beyond where we are right now? Or have we put enough time in and enough effort in and enough emotion into something that when we say we're finally comfortable, it's like an amen. It's like an hallelujah. it is a period because finally the work has paid off. I'm comfortable with the outcome. That kind of sounds beautiful too, doesn't it? Or for those of us, or I won't necessarily put myself in this category as far as risk goes, if that risk includes jumping out of planes or driving over long bridges and so on, that's the kind of risk I try to avoid. However, I would see that there are things in my life that I've taken risks. And then in those risks, should you have those risky fellows and ladies out there, should you have taken a step back, taken a breath and said, is this risk truly worth it? And when you consider those risks, did they pay off? Or did they blow up? And then do we then use that idea of going and failing as a way of justifying the risk? Do we go out and still continue to be risky? Or do we pull back a little bit and say, okay, that's a risk I'm no longer willing to take. That's a risk I'm no longer willing to accept. I think of my own students. I think of teenagers that I've known. I think of young adults that I have relationships with. And I look at the risks that they take in their own lives. And in some cases, those risks weren't nearly the same risks or to the level of the risk that I took as a teenager. But now I look at it from the perspective of a teacher and parent, and I think, holy moly, I'm sitting here shaking my head. Slow up a little bit. Slow down, you crazy child. I want to see you get to 49. That's the goal of any parent. We want to see our own children not only make it through that risk, but to make it on the other side of youth. I know I am a proud father of three young adult men who are out changing the world in different ways and with different people because that's how they were raised. That's how they were raised. They were raised to appreciate the human condition, and they don't always get it right. Nobody does at that age. Nobody does at the age of 49 either. But I wouldn't say that any of them live risky lives. Nor would I say any of them are comfortable. Change happens for a reason. But on the lower side of that age spectrum, into those teenage years that my boys are no longer in, I see the risk. I feel the risk. I hear the risk every day, and it scares me. I wish a little comfort for them. You know what I'm saying, right? You do too. You want them to at least find peace. And maybe that's, again, at the end of the day, the word that we need to consider is peace. Because peace can be found in comfort, but peace can also be found in understanding the risks that we're willing to take. And maybe we should ask that question more, not why are you being risky, but will this particular risk bring you peace? Will it bring you joy? When I consider framing it in that way, maybe risk isn't so bad, is it? We've taken risks in our adult lives, whether it was being in a relationship that we knew ultimately couldn't work. And so we made the step to end those relationships. And let me tell you, I'm talking friends or spouses, or long-term relationships, whatever the case is, but your ability to grow as a person stopped in whatever those relationships were. So you needed to end those relationships. We understand that, right? Most of us have been there. Maybe finding that peace or that joy that comes with learning a new skill, and perhaps a dangerous skill. I look at woodworkers and I think, how did y'all get through here without lobbing off a finger? Or getting wood in your eye? Or anything like that. I mean, the precautions, as great as they are, there's an inherent risk to it. One that I'm not willing to take. But I'll buy your wood product when you're done, by the way, because I can appreciate it. I have another friend who stepped outside of education and started a business making jewelry. And I tell her often how brave I thought that decision was. And it's a friend I reconnected with after decades apart. But now, every time she posts a picture of her jewelry, I just look at it and I think, this is what you were made to do. Education served a purpose for you, but your life's mission was to take that risk, a good risk, learn a new skill, and become tops in your field. And I would encourage you to maybe do that in your own life. Take a risk. But do it in a peaceful manner. And here's what I think I mean by that. Is if that risk does not work for you, what's the purpose in taking it? If you know ultimately that risk will not lead to reward, there is still, I suppose, logic that says, well, that's how I go fail. But not at the risk of totally blowing up the potential for something good in the future. Again, I think there is a happy medium, even if that medium still leans towards risk. But for those of us who find comfort to mean I'm finally at peace, those are two different things. And I would encourage those of us who do use comfort as an excuse. Well, I'm finally comfortable. I don't feel like I need to get up off the sofa. I don't feel like I need to go cook. I don't feel like I need to ride my bike tonight for 12 miles instead of 10, because I'm finally comfortable riding 10 miles. Those are bad comforts, aren't they? Those are comforts that prevent us from growing. You know, in my own world, which is a world that involves, thankfully, gratefully, many, many people, but uncomfortable conversations happen as well. And in those uncomfortable conversations, whether again it's educationally or through a friendship or through family, those uncomfortable conversations, which can get loud, still allow us to grow. See, we didn't put a period there. We didn't piss each other off and then put a period and say, that's it. I'm walking away. I'm not engaging in this anymore. I'm putting a semicolon and saying, I'm going to take a breath, but I'm going to return and finish this and let this conversation help me grow so that I'm not just comfortable, but I found an area of peace. On the other side, where I take a risk and I say something that's so hurtful, so mean-spirited, so unthoughtful, I don't want to put a period there either. I want to put that semicolon, right? I want a thought to follow. I want to be able to come back to the conversation and maybe humble myself a little bit and say, this is not at all what I intended. I've had so many conversations like that over the last few weeks because we're passionate people, right? Passion is a wonderful thing. Those are my favorite people, are the passionate ones. But we're also sometimes the hardest to humble because of our need to be right. And as often said, when choosing between right and kind, just choose kind. It's simpler. Right always comes later. Being comfortable can come at the end of a situation, when you finally have put a period there, when you know there is no more growth, but that comes potentially at a cost. But it's doable. We can be comfortable. I'd rather it be when we're wearing clothes as opposed to when it's affecting our personal relationships or our ability to grow. We can be risky, but let's not let that happen in our own relationships. You can take risk. Take risk by stepping outside of your comfort zone and finding a new passion. Start a podcast. Everybody has a story, and I'd love to hear yours. When I think of my own steps, my next steps in risk and avoiding comfort, I know that the payoff of growing is ultimately the whole reason behind taking that, if you will, risk. If there is an opportunity to grow, I'm not taking that risk. We're now in that Christmas season, that holiday season. And all I can think about in this particular year is our inabilities to gather together, to love one another in person. The frustration that comes with meeting online and calling that somehow being together. We know it's not. It cannot replace that skin-to-skin contact, if you will. Hugs, kisses, communal experiences. But the risk of doing anything beside that is too great that we have to find peace in living in these times. And I'm certain we can do it. It's a team effort. We don't want to be comfortable right now. Those of us who either don't wear masks or do wear masks, nobody likes the masks. We don't. But it's how we each approach it that might require us to find a common ground, a common peace. That certainly is not a lecture. We all have our own feelings and emotions that are invested in that. But I do believe that there's a difference between being comfortable with the mandates that are put in front of us. And there is when we talk about the risk of not following those mandates. Seeing so both sides of those equations is healthy, and we find a common ground in doing it. Here's what I know about this Christmas season. It will be unlike any other we've ever experienced it. So I want to find joy in that. Somehow. How will you find joy in this holiday season? What are you going to do to change your comfort or the potential of your risk? Will that go beyond the holiday season? Will that be a jump-off point for 2021? I'd love to know. I'd love for you to share those with me. And in return, I'll share those with the other listeners. I appreciate the time that you invest here on The Art of Letting Go, in listening, in sharing with your friends, in communicating your responses to me. Keep doing so. Communication matters. Friendships matter. Relationships matter. And so does our ability to find peace in an uncomfortable, risky age. Much love to you this week. Enjoy your week. I'll see you again next week right here on The Art of Letting Go. Until then, I'm James Steensma. Hey friends, it's James. I want to challenge you to a resolution because very soon 2020 will be in the rearview mirror, flushed down the drain. It should be flushed down and never to be repeated. At least that's our hope. So let me give you a New Year's challenge instead of, if you really are like me and have a tendency to give up on my resolutions, I usually don't give up on challenges. Maybe you're like that. So let's challenge each other to communicate better in 2021. Not you and me, but with somebody in your own world who you have not communicated well with. Maybe it's a friend who's struggling. Send them a quick message and just let them know that, hey, you're thinking of them. Maybe it's a family member that you've been quarreling with. Let them know that they're still loved and that there's peace at the end of the road. Maybe it's somebody at your workplace who you have carried resentment toward. It's time to bury that hatchet so that you can grow together as a team. So let that be a challenge for you. And in return, hold me accountable as well. We're all human. Also know, though, that there are times when, even in our humanness, we experience sad times, mad times, bad times. Pick up that phone and press 741-741. Include the word home in your text message, and the crisis text line will be there to help you through those moments. That's my challenge to you every week that we get together, but more so as we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end of this year. Until next time, my friends, I'm James Steensma, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Thank you.